Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 121, Trusting Our Own Psychic Gifts.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
So I'm recording this on the full moon in Leo, opposing all the Aquarian energy, and really feel that this is a time that will continue over the next few weeks where we need to celebrate our uniqueness. We need to say, what is amazing about me? And I hope each of you are starting to see that. Not trying to follow someone else's plan. Finding what brings you passion and excitement and curiosity. You know, that's our future, is making sure that, as I always say, we lay down the piece of jigsaw that we came into this world with, not worrying about other people's pieces of jigsaw, which is why I'm going to talk about psychic gifts a little later on. But at the same time, we're saying, how can I apply my amazing gifts to the community, to the greater good? And before we get too lost in some greater good of saving the world, let's just start with our community. And I'm moving that beyond our family. Sometimes we are looking at, what is my community? What is my family? How can I inspire others? And of course, the best way we can do it is be it, to live our own truth, to be the light, to be the change. And this is a very, very strong opposition between the moon and then the sun, and you've got Saturn there and you've got Jupiter there and Pallas Athena, which are all encouraging us to see the bigger picture, to synthesize the information that's coming our way, which means sometimes dismissing some information coming our way and really listening to that inner knowing. I have a little concern about the Aquarian way, where Aquarius, I love, I have my moon in Aquarius, but it can also cause detachment from emotion. So any of you that have any Aquarius in your chart, just to be mindful of, where am I avoiding or denying that I have any emotional attachment to something, or something emotional is going on in my body? Because it's very common, I have to say, to see someone who has sun in Aquarius having issues with their knees or their back or their joints. In other words, when we detach from our body, the body will call us home and say, hello, pay attention here. So that doesn't have to happen. So anybody who's saying, well, that's not me, but it's just been my experience that many a time, if we detach too much, the body will call us. And Aquarians have an ability to detach. And saying that, I'm just making sure that we realize that there are many altruistic ideas out there. Oh, let's do this, let's do this, let's expand technology. But my concern is that it can often be at the cost of other people's emotions, other people's needs, other people's values, other people's confidence. So we need to make sure we don't get so caught up in the big picture that we forget that many people, especially at this time, are suffering big time, of all ages, feeling depressed, feeling suicidal, feeling that they have no value in life, feeling that their job's going to be taken away from them if it hasn't already gone, feeling their relationships are not working in the way they thought they would. I think it's really important to not get out of step with the individuals and just think about the big way this is going to change everybody's life for the better. It will, it may not. So coming back to the real Aquarian energy, which is about community. So that's why I'm saying, is community doesn't just say, where's the leader? Well, let's do this. It's saying, how are we serving everybody in my community? Do I even know their voice? Do I even care what their voice is? Do I know what their issues are? And this is really the way that we need to be moving. And Mercury is going to be going retrograde, good old Mercury going retrograde. And I think it's going to really ask those questions, that we don't want to get swept away by new ideas that are going to save the world. We want to be making sure that everybody's on board as well, as best as they can. Let's put it that way. And My life has been spent in looking at soul-centered health. That's the journey I've taken. Previously, I would call it patient-centered care, because I saw that when holistic medicine came into being, we had body, mind, spirit. Perfect. Wow, this was what I believed in. And then very quickly, I saw there was reductionism happening again. So there would be people taking care of the body. There'd be people taking care of the mind and people taking care of the spirit, but they weren't really bothered about the patient. In other words, their body, mind, spirit. It's like, let's make sure that this person understands this meditation practice, again, wonderful, or this yoga practice, or this psychological practice. But have we asked the soul what it needs? And that's why I moved from patient-centered care to soul-centered care, because I have worked with thousands and thousands of people over my 40 plus years, and it really is, each soul is so unique, which is why I'm always kept totally curious about everybody I meet, because everybody tells a different story. Every soul is on a different path. Every soul has a different reason for wanting to see me and then to move beyond me. In other words, we just meet and then we separate. And I say that that's where medicine needs to go, and I know that's not where it's going. We have a tendency to have a regime or an agenda for a certain illness, not person. Just because I understand that certain illnesses, and this was the basis of my first book, Frontiers of Health, that each illness has personalities within it, and helps us to understand what the soul may be wanting us to hear at that time. That doesn't mean that that's the whole person. It's literally a small facet of what this individual needs me to see at that time so that I can help the whole bring about change. Does that make sense? It's sometimes we need to focus on what's the first step we need to take to bring about a transformation. And I often feel illness is giving us that first step. Okay, look at this first, and then everything can change. And I want to say that's been the basis of my work. Is as a child, I could see many subpersonalities, I'll call them that, many aspects of an individual, many petals of an individual. And that was why I got so confused and sometimes got a little lost in, wow, which of these many personalities should I listen to? But as I've got older, thank goodness, I don't get so overwhelmed by that. But I still see that when I'm working, it's which is the personality that I need to attend to first, who will be the one like on a chessboard that will then move all the other pieces. And that's what I think is the gift of a good healer, especially an intuitive healer. Is where do I need to move in order to make sure that every other piece then gets stimulated to aspire to its soul's journey? And that isn't taught. It's like, no, this is just an illness. This is just a physical body that's gone wrong. And clearly it's not. So when I was reading about Steiner talking about vaccines, you may or may not know about Rudolf Steiner, but he wrote back in 1917 about vaccines. And Rudolf Steiner really was one of the pioneers in holistic medicine. He brought together the anthroposophical movement that includes homeopathy, but isn't only within that setting. And he really could see the whole Puritan. So if you've never read any of Steiner's work, then please, I suggest you go back or you go and look for some. And one of the things he wrote here about vaccines, which was really the early days of vaccines, my friends, he wasn't talking about the type of vaccines we're talking about, the messenger RNA ones. He was just talking about the basics of vaccines. But he had a vision, and thank you, Barbara, for giving me this insight, because you reminded me to look here. And this is what he said: a way will finally be found to vaccinate bodies so that these bodies will not allow the inclination towards spiritual ideas to develop. And all their lives, people will believe only in the physical world they perceive with the senses. He wrote that in 1917. And I feel that we're there. And I focus on where people are going through very, very difficult times with COVID. And I'm not in any way saying they're not, but people have been going through difficult times with illness for millennia. Don't let us forget that this is a soul within this body. And that soul has their own path to play, that which may or may not be to stay on this planet. But make sure that you know that. Many, you know, I've lived and worked around people dying for a long, long time. It's not for us to choose if they live or die. It's for us to give the best treatment we can in the moment. But most importantly, to listen to that soul. And I would like to think that holistic medicine is alive and well, and it's not reduced down to what vitamins or vitamins do you take or what treatments do you have. It's, is your soul nurtured? Is your soul in tune with this? Because the body works for the soul. So when the physical body gets sick, it's really the soul saying, I need you to pay attention to me. I need you to pay attention. Not what treatments can I have? I think we sometimes lose that along the way. And I am as guilty of that as anybody. In terms of my emotional self, that's where I had problems when I was a child, is that I felt everybody's pain. I'm sure many of you do that. You feel the world's pain, the world's pressure. And if you have any Scorpio in your chart, like I do, then the tendency is that when things are not going along in the way that I thought they would, then immediately I think, must be something I'm doing. I need to try harder. Anybody relate to that? So that there are these two aspects. If you've got Virgo in your chart, you've got it as well, which is when things aren't going the way you thought they would, or when things aren't changing the way you thought, then it must be my fault. I'll try harder. Yes. Well, recently I saw that in me again. It's something that happens. I don't put so much energy into that as I used to, but I saw myself running a little bit and getting caught up in the, I've got to do more. I've got to try harder. Yes, anybody there with me? And I managed to kind of step back and see what the pattern was here again. So just to remind ourselves, and I had to remind myself last week, which was, hang on a minute, this is not the emotional body is getting in the way of my ability to be clear in my intuitive body. All right, so this is why I wanted to talk about being psychic, because that emotional body can drive us to do things. I don't call it the pain body. I don't necessarily go along with those words, but I would say that many of you listening are empaths, what we call empaths, sensitives, psychic, mediums, clairvoyant, whatever you words you want, but that we can pick up on other people's emotions very easily. And what can happen is that we end up thinking that we're indispensable. And that can be because you're a parent, because you're even a child taking care of your parents. It can be a sibling that you're taking care of, or it can be people you care about, or it can be your work. And it may have nothing to do with health and healing. It may be that you found yourself in a situation where you feel you're indispensable, that everybody says, oh, what would we do without you? What would we do without you? And you're saying, because you're feeling as if you're buried underneath this wealth of responsibility and duty that is being put upon you. That comes along with some more Capricorn energy, if you have any Capricorn. So I'm really saying is sometimes other people's agendas, other people's expectations, other people's emotions can drive us unnecessarily and unwisely to continue a pattern that is not healthy for us and not healthy for them. Yes? Do you recognize that? I've been on that path. And that, you know, when my Aquarian steps in, which I love my Aquarian for doing that, I can step back immediately because, as I say, Aquarius can actually be quite detached and say, hang on a minute, I'm adding to the problem rather than making it better. Anybody see that in their life at the present time? That need to help, that need to be there, even the need to want to bring about change can actually be adding to the problem. And what I've recognized stops the process of change in other people. Sometimes we have to pull back and let someone, if I may say, fall down in order for them to learn to pick themselves up. It's a little bit about rather than giving people fish, helping them to learn to fish. And I feel that that's something I've had to learn over the years. And I've also had to be aware of very subtle energies that can sometimes drive me. So if you're sitting there and saying, oh, maybe I am feeling I'm indispensable to my family or to my work or my, hey, stop, step back. Because as soon as we become indispensable, we actually are causing both a rod to our back and causing a block to any change that might come in that direction. Make sense? So that's that little bit. I thought I had to own up to it, the fact that I had got a little bit caught up in a treadmill of, I must try harder. Because it's very easy to do. There's so much, as I say, trauma out there, so much sadness out there, so much unknown, that I can find myself trying to fill a gap to help people to feel that they are noticed, and I have to just step back. Now, this brings me then to the psychic experiences, which I'm really talking about. So I'm thinking, how many of you know that you pick up on other people's energy? Yes? How many of you read a room when you walk in? How many of you would consider yourself observers? In other words, always watching out. Now, if you have a lot of water in your astrology chart, which is Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, I'm definitely talking to you. If you've got Virgo in your chart, I'm definitely talking to you. And all I would be saying is this is probably meaning that your solar plexus is out of balance. Solar plexus, as I've mentioned before, is like a big satellite dish, and the satellite dish is on all the time. And as we are growing in our very early years, we use that satellite dish to not only hear what people say to us or what we see happening, but to read those emotions. So in other words, you may be in a family where people don't speak the truth, or they may hide their secrets, or more forcefully, they may be angry, or they may be alcoholic, or they may be addicted, or they may be passive aggressive, where it's really important to read what's going on. So when you are, you know, when we're born, often we will watch for the signs. Does this resonate with some of you? We watch for the signs of what do we need to do in order to be liked. We don't actually care if we're loved, we just want to be liked. And we can become pleasers. We can become those who are always looking for, what can I do to bring happiness and harmony to the people around me? Any again, resonating with me? So this idea of being aware, using your solar plexus, as I say, like a satellite dish to read what's going on, and sometimes act like a sponge, which means, let me take all your problems off you. And this happens more so in women than men, just because of our tendency to bring about transformation more commonly. But we become like, okay, I see what the problem is. I'll inhale, vacuum up all those problems, and then you can be happy and we can all be happy. So that's maybe I'm talking to you when you know that it's not about your needs being met, but it's the needs of others being met. Because if I can stop you feeling unhappy, then I won't feel your unhappiness. So what I often describe in someone who has cancer in their chart, we'll say, here's a tissue, please stop crying, you're upsetting me. So that need to calm everything down, a Libra can do the same sort of thing. Let me calm you down because I want harmony, I want peace. And why I'm stressing this is I speak to so many people and I say, you do know you're psychic, don't you? And they go, no, I don't think so. And why I'm stressing it is, of course you're psychic. It's not, I'm trying to say, it's a gift, but it's also something that is very natural. And if we don't own this natural gift and it gets out of hand, we find ourselves, as I say, both reading everybody, merging with everybody's energy, and cleaning their energy up with our vacuum cleaner, and getting overwhelmed. So if we're going to change the world we live in, and of course we can only change ourselves, we have to take ownership of what we already have, which is our psychic gifts. So if I'm speaking to you and you're saying, "No, I don't think I'm psychic," which is what I hear so often, please will you just take note of, do I know things about people before, you know, they tell me? Or do I know things about people when they first come into my room? Maybe I'm at work. Because many, many of you are very psychic. And that, I want to say, is not something, again, it's not making you special, because some of you are more psychic than others. It's a normal human experience. And once we take ownership of it, let's put it that way, we can then choose what to do with it. Okay, I've got this gift. Maybe I'm going to start doing readings for people, or maybe I'm just going to be aware that I do know things about people. I'm going to use this to help me. And being psychic is the ability to receive information. Being intuitive is knowing what you do with that information. So when I receive information through my solar plexus primarily, I end up then saying, what is the wisest third eye? What's the most loving heart energy that I can do? What's the wisest and most loving energy I can do that I can? What's the most wise and loving thing I can do with this energy, this knowledge? And sometimes, as you may know, our intuitive insight will say, don't say anything or don't do anything. So intuition is almost the action, and psychic is the ability to feel something. And we'll feel it through clairvoyance, the ability to see with our sixth sense, or clairaudience, to hear, clairsentience, to feel. And there are also the ability to smell and to taste. And then just that inner knowing, you know. Okay? So what I'm suggesting for you all today, and I'd only encourage you over these next few weeks, is to say, yes, I am psychic. I do know things. I do feel things, because so commonly I hear people saying, I'm getting overwhelmed, as I was speaking about earlier, by the problems of the world or the problems of the family. And you can end up feeling depressed, or you can feel tired. And what's happening is you're actually taking on their energy, vacuum cleaning it, and it's not your energy to start with. So owning our own psychic abilities helps us to be more clear, more decisive about our own choices. We can make better decisions. We make better decisions in our relationships when we can say, this is mine, that's yours. It doesn't mean that we can't say to someone, you know, I sense that you're not happy, or I feel that we need to talk about this. But if the other person then says, no, I'm fine, we need to back off, because that's their choice. So rather than, as I said, pushing harder, as I sometimes could do, just backing off and saying, that's fine. I've learned to do that over my years. Because what we may know about someone may be in advance of them knowing. And I do not believe in giving advice if it's not asked for. So that's why I often ask a question, how are you feeling about this? Or giving my own ideas. You know, I've often felt this way. Does this ever happen to you? That's a way of just putting some ideas out there. And if someone says, no, that never is happening to me, walk away. Now, what I would say is that sometimes I hear people talk about being almost overwhelmed all the time. And having worked with the spirit world all my life, it really is okay to say, I need time out. I need to shut the door. I need to have some quiet time. Many of you do not need to meditate, may I say. You're already, if meditation is receiving information, you're on overwhelm. So making sure that you have just quiet time may not be about connecting to spirit. It may be connecting to nature, connecting to yourself, connecting to the joy that you have as a human being here on earth, with your soul loving the fact that it may be that you decide to go and bake some bread, or to have a walk, or go for a massage, just doing something purely for you that doesn't involve anybody else, having those things that are unique for you. So that's one of my suggestions, making sure you root yourself into Mother Earth. Second would be to tell the spirit world, you know, I'm off duty after 12 p.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever time you go to bed. so that you're not woken up in the middle of the night and that you're not on all the time. I can promise you that when I'm working with a client, I will be on. But when I leave that client, I'm switched off. And I always say that when I'm teaching, I'm not reading people's energy. That would be rude and disrespectful, but it also would exhaust me. So having a time where you can switch off and on your spiritual guidance is really important. And if you're working with guidance, they don't care. In terms, they don't have a time limit on this. So just being able to say, actually, I'm switching this off, doesn't mean they're going to go away. They're honoring and respecting you as you're honoring and respecting them. And I've always said to my guidance, for what it's worth, I always say, if I'm coming from my head and not my heart, please switch off my abilities. So having something else that you may use to make sure that this is clear. Now, my final piece of advice, coming back to the solar plexus gathers information and memories. It's the place of our memories, our emotional memories. And it is the place we have to be really careful to clear out old memories that can be triggered by an event that may have nothing to do with the original event. And the example I often use is, you may know someone, you may have had an experience with someone who came from, you know, a certain town or city where you live. And every time you hear that name, that city name or that town name, your solar plexus goes into overdrive, where it has nothing to do with the person you've met who's completely different from the original person. So this idea of being triggered is really important for us to be able to say, okay, what's the belief behind this trigger? Not just, yes, it's important to deal with the trigger, but to be able to say, what's being triggered? That all people from this town are going to hurt me or something along those lines. So being able to look at the bigger picture and say, this isn't true anymore. This type of belief is true for that one individual from that town, but not from everybody. So it's almost like a false prophet, if I may say, our solar plexus. It can trick us into going into overdrive when actually it's really just a name or a word that has got triggered. So being able to close our solar plexus, sometimes I talk about the flower closing as if it's a flower closing, or maybe even we cross our arms over our solar plexus as a way of protecting ourselves. Sometimes putting green or thinking green as a way of calming that down. But also, my last statement was going to be just be aware of trusting, own the psychic gifts you have, but then you can make a choice of what you do with them. So I think ownership has to happen first, rather than being frightened of taking on the energy. Say, hang on a minute, I am psychic. Now, what do I want to do with this energy? What do I already know? And when the solar plexus works with the heart chakra, which is its companion, then you're not driven so much by the emotions and the energies of the world. You're driven by that deeper love that comes from the heart chakra, the deeper love of connection. And the solar plexus or the emotional overwhelm starts to disappear. Take it from me, it does. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. Try not to get caught up in the idea of I'm loving someone or caring for someone. That can just be solar plexus energy. Be careful, and I do want to just add this, not to feel that you need to fix other people, because that's a form of manipulation. When we come from love, it truly is unconditional. In other words, I don't need to do anything, nor do you need to change anything for me to love you. That's true unconditional love. And with that, I say goodbye, and I'll see you next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.